Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's great to have you company for another episode of the show. So for those people that are new to the podcast, welcome. And let me take a moment to introduce you to our sister publication, which is called the Savvy Dentist Magazine. The magazine has been put together to provide a free resource for practice owners on their journey as they grow and scale their practice. We know that having access to the best information enables better decision making, and it's those decisions that power the growth of your practice. We also know that business has evolved and changed. The needs of the practice owner are more sophisticated now than ever before. So we know that the traditional practice management teachings of the early 2000s and even up to 2015 are really no longer valid in today's marketplace. So it's important to be staying abreast of things, to have access to the best information, the latest information that are going to impact you on your journey of practice ownership. So as you go through that journey, please take an opportunity to read the magazine. You can subscribe. It's totally free. Now, whether you want the printed version, the hard copy, or the digital version, as I said, they're both free. All you need to do is head across to SavvyDentist.com/magazine and subscribe, and we'll get that magazine to you. And I hope you find that a really useful resource in your journey. Lots of good articles to read, whether it's HR, IT, marketing, wealth creation, accounting, property strategy, fit outs, and of course, the whole magazine is still populated by the ethos of not invented here. So we go out and find things that are interesting in the business world and look for their relevance to the dental world. And so lots of those articles as well. So something for everyone. Now, with respect to today's episode, this is part two of our debrief of our field trip. So for those that might have missed part one, I've recently returned from the United States, and where we took a group of clients with us on a field trip. Now, I've always been really interested in other businesses and thinking that the best ideas for dentistry often come from outside of dentistry. And that's proven to be really true for me over the years. We've incorporated some of those lessons from other businesses to great effect. And when that works really well, we teach that to our clients. And what we did recently is we went on a three-stop tour. We started in Anaheim at Disney Institute. We went to Disneyland, and then we looked at the magic that was happening in Disney. And then when we went to Disney Institute, they showed us behind the curtain. They showed us how they do it. They spoke about leadership. They spoke about what the cast members are doing and all those sorts of things to make the Disney magic, magic. And then after that, we went to Seattle and we went to the Pike Place markets. And at the markets, it was phenomenal. There's 7 or 8 acres of markets over about 6 or 7 floors. And in particular, we went to look at the fish market there, which is well known for the fish philosophy. And I'll come back to that in a moment because that's going to be the topic of today's episode. And the third stop we had, which was in Las Vegas, was at Zappos. And that's what we spoke about in our previous episode. So I'm kind of working backwards as we go through this. So I thought I'd just take a moment to share some of the insights that came out of the fish market experience, or I should say the broader market experience. But you've got to remember that the Pike Place markets are on the waterfront in Seattle. Now, actually, just before I get to the markets, Seattle, great town. If you've never been to Seattle, fantastic. Definitely worth a visit. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought there'd be nothing there. But Seattle is vibrant. The food scene is great. The bar scene, the coffee scene, all those things are terrific. It's a wonderful town to have a good experience in, and we enjoyed ourselves tremendously. I went on some tours, the underground tour, where they take you through the tunnels under the city, learning about the history of the city, how it got burnt down because it was originally a logging town. All the buildings were built out of timber, and then there was a big fire that swept through the main town, and it had to be rebuilt, and it was obviously rebuilt in brick. But what was interesting is they'd also had concurrent sewage problems, and so they built these buildings and then they elevated the roads about 10 foot. And so what was the ground level became a basement level, and so there's all these tunnels around, and you can see the old shop fronts underneath the tunnels. It's such fascinating. Anyway, so the Pike Place markets are on the waterfront in Seattle. Seattle, suffered some damage during the war and all those sorts of things, and at one point there was a big push to demolish the markets. And the community got together and rallied and saved these markets, and they've become well-known and world-famous ever since. And in those markets, there's all these different stalls. So you've got, obviously the fish markets, which we'll talk about specifically in a second, but you've got, grocers of, food, fruit and vegetables. You've got, cherries and sweets and chocolates. You've got ice cream. You've got florists. You've got arts and crafts. Everything you can possibly imagine. underneath the markers, there's a place called Ghost Alley. And at Ghost Alley, there's this great little coffee shop, by the way, fantastic, which in America, I know this is going to sound weird, for a country that does a lot of things really well, coffee is not their strong suit. So when you find good coffee, you tend to keep going back. But there's this great little coffee shop in Ghost Alley. But in Ghost Alley, they had the chewing gum wall. And interesting, the whole wall is decorated with chewing gum. It sounds disgusting. It is disgusting, but it looks fantastic. So anyway, there's all of that there. So when we went to the markets, there's a few things that struck us. Now, when it comes to the fish philosophy, for those that are familiar with it, you'll know that there's four key tenets that make up the fish philosophy. The first one is about choosing your attitude. And the whole idea is that this fish market, which became world famous, like it's a little fish stall, it's about 50 square meters, it's not huge at all, but it became incredibly famous for these four key tenets. And yeah, it's really hard to fathom how one stall in a huge market becomes world famous and then draws visitors to it from around the world. I did hear somewhere that that fish market is something like the 35th most visited tourist spot in the world. Quite phenomenal, something like that. Anyway, the four tenets of the fish philosophy are to choose your attitude. And the whole idea is you come to work, and you get to choose, am I going to have a good day? Am I not going to have a good day? Am I going to have a good attitude or not a good attitude? And if we get to choose, let's choose having a good attitude. And I've got a friend of mine who likes to talk about this as well. And she says, you know, if you've got the choice of feeling like a 1 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10, choose 10, because the way you choose 10 and the way you carry yourself is totally different compared to when you carry yourself as a 1. And so if you get to choose, choose your attitude, choose a 10. So that's the first key tenet. The second key tenet is to play. And if you go to the fish markets at the Pike Place there, you'll see it's very playful. There's people throwing fish, catching fish, all those sorts of things. And of course, when we were there, that was what we'd heard about, is this fish throwing thing. And they have this ritual where if someone throws your fish and you catch it, you don't have to pay for it. And so yeah, in our touring group, we had 26 people. A couple of them were throwing, having fish thrown to them, I should say, and catching fish. And they have some demo fish so they don't damage the stock as well, just if for someone who wants to be involved in the fish throwing. But they're playing, they're making fun out of their day, and it's great. The other third key philosophy is to make the day of their customers and clients. And they do that by having fun. They do that by being nice. They do that by giving samples. They do that by knowing their product. They do it. They've got this, I can't remember the name of the fish, but a big fish on a chain. So as someone walks past, they pull the chain and it moves and gives people a bit of a fright and a bit of a laugh. But of course, the other fourth thing is about being present, and they're very attentive. They're very mindful of what's going on. And so what was really interesting as well was some of the rituals that happened at the fish market. There's the fish throwing and the fish catching. That's definitely a ritual. But also what happened is how in unison the team at the fish markets were. So when someone paid a tip, all of them would call out tip incoming. And it was like this really interesting sense of flow and harmony. And similarly when people were catching fish, you know, fish incoming or whatever it is, and the whole team was aligned and focused on what was going on. Many years ago when I was a teenager, I was involved in rowing. And I remember in rowing, when you had everyone moving in alignment with one another, you could feel it in the boat. It was really hard to capture, very easy to lose, but you could feel it. And the boat sat dead even in the water, and we'd even get these little air bubbles. And sometimes the air bubbles would create a little whistle, and we knew that we were going well when we got that whistle. It was like a state of flow. And what I noticed at the fish market was the alignment of the team living these four philosophies, the fish philosophies, and the state of flow it created within that marketplace of that fish market. It was quite phenomenal, hard to describe, absolutely easy to see in the flesh. So if you've read the fish philosophy or seen the videos, it's really interesting. But seeing it, experiencing it, you understand how a little stall in a big fish or in a bigger marketplace, I should say, can become world famous. They have crowds lining up there. And this is a fish stall. And there are other fish stalls in the marketplace, but they don't have the same crowd. And so I guess the key thing that came out of this was A, the rituals, B, the four tenets of the philosophy, and how you can become world famous by just being you. These guys are not doing it in a contrived way. They're not doing it as an act. It's who they are. And what's also really interesting is the respect that each of them have for one another on the team. Each of them have their own role. Each of them have their own part to play, but how they're coming together to create the whole. And again, that reminded me of my days in the Navy. Everyone's got a role to play to make the ship move forward. similarly within the marketplace, you've got different people, different roles to make it all happen harmoniously. Now, moving beyond the fish stall itself, there was, you know, hundreds of other stalls, as I said, about 7 or 8 acres over 6 or 7 floors, you know, ranging from all manner of things. And what was really interesting was the individual alliances between those businesses and how they support one another. And closely related to that is this sense of community. So the alliances where people would be referring people to one another, they'd say, oh, you might want to see Bob the butcher over there, or go and have your ice cream here, or get your flowers there, whatever it was. They were actively referring to other businesses. So the question then begs itself is, who else looks after your ideal customer? Who else could you form an alliance with? Who else could you form a relationship with where you can actively cross-refer your clients, your patients and their clients to become your patients and have that symbiotic relationship? So that was really interesting. What really struck me was the community element. Now, the history of the fish markets and the markets in general is phenomenal. As I said, it's been going for over 100 years. And they nearly got wiped out after the war, and they're now stronger than ever. What we noticed was there were kids that had grown up with their parents in the market. Some of these kids were sleeping in boxes under tables as their mum and dad were selling fruit and veggies. And so what ended up happening is the fish market developed some cash flow. They invested in things such as creches or kindergarten, so the kids could go to kindergarten or have somewhere to rest rather than, you know, being under the table at the market. There's so many photos of kids being strapped to the backs of their mum or their dad as they're working the market stalls. So that sense of community is amazing. And that was also coupled with how they created social housing at the market as well. We know that in America there's issues with homelessness and people in need. And so they created this social housing at the fish markets. Now, this is prime real estate. We're on the waterfront here. You're overlooking Seattle Harbor, and it's beautiful. And they've got people intermingling, you know, of all different walks of life. And what that adds is a texture to the community. It adds a richness to the community. It adds a sense of perspective, diversity, and it's just a really warm coming together feeling. Again, it's really hard to explain, but what we noticed in that was the fact that there was people really looking out for one another, and that was just a really nice thing to have there, and you could see it in action. There was also an element of storytelling that came up in the markets as well. Each of the stalls had a story, and we could hear about, you know, the different creams that people had developed to solve different skin conditions and so on. And so what that made me think is, what sort of storytelling do you have in your practice? Do you actively tell stories? Do you have an origin story? Do you have a story to help you, you know, present your cases? Having stories and storytelling is incredibly important. And we'll touch on that when we talk about the trip to Disney as well, because they're the masters of storytelling. But in your practice, I really believe that telling stories helps connect you with your patients. And we know that the oldest cultures of the world have been teaching and sharing experiences through stories for millennia. And so storytelling is a very powerful way of teaching. And so I think it's really important as dentists to have stories to tell your patients, stories to tell your team. Your origin story is critical. I've shared my origin story many times, you know, with the first practice we had and how miserable I was and so on. And I've even told stories from my childhood about why I got so fascinated in business, because I came from a background where there was deep uncertainty, you know, financial insecurity, lots of anxiety for me as a kid around that. And, you know, that led me to wanting to be secure and untouchable from a financial point of view. And that led me to, as a teenager, you know, wanting to learn more about money, learning more about wealth creation. That's my origin story, right? And so what's your origin story? Why did you get into dentistry? What fascinated you with it? Did you build model planes? Did you have an uncle or an aunt or a mother, father, brother, sister who's a dentist? What got you into that? And then equally, what are the cases, the stories? What shaped your philosophy around your care? What are the stories that you can tell? Maybe, you know, you can tell stories about the smile transformations you've made and how you've been able to help people face the world or whatever it is for you. Having stories to tell is important, but also knowing how and when to tell those stories is important too. So knowing when to bring them out and how to create a story arc that teaches a point is, again, very important. And the fish markets did that incredibly well. So there's a lot of really good things that came out of the fish markets there. The community piece was critical, and the caring for one another, that connection piece, oh my God, amazing. I'm on the record as saying I have an intellectual crush on Brené Brown. And Brené Brown, in her work, shares that she believes that connection is what gives meaning and purpose to human life. And I really believe that too. And you could see that connection in spades at the fish markets between the vendors, between the customers. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. So there's that. There's the storytelling, which I've just touched on. There's the fish philosophy, you know, choose your attitude, play, make your day, make their day, and being present. And we saw that. And that fish philosophy that allowed one little stall in a big market to become world famous and then bring other people to the other stalls as well, it was incredible. The story of the market itself and the ghost alley, so many different stories to be told about why it was compelling. And so all of those things I think are really useful business lessons. Now, what I'm going to encourage you to think about is how do these apply to you? I'm a big believer in adapting rather than adopting. How do you take these concepts and adapt them for your own purpose? How do you create the stories? How do you create community? How do you create connection? And at Zappos, we spoke about the importance of personal emotional connection. And that happened at the fish markets too. And personal emotional connection, I think, is the glue that holds the dental practice together. The personal emotional connection with your patients, obviously, knowing them, knowing their families, knowing their interests, knowing their you know, hopes and their aspirations, as well as their fears and frustrations, and matching our care to suit that. But also knowing your team, knowing you know, your team's hopes and aspirations, their fears and frustrations, knowing what's important to them, creating that personal emotion connection is what allows your team members to stay long-term in the practice. And we spoke about that in the previous episode. So there's a whole bunch of themes running through this. There's the storytelling, there's the connection piece, there's the community piece. And here at Savvy Dentist, our whole ethos is around community. That's what we live and breathe, you know, community. Our Practice Max program is a community. And it's what gets me out of bed every single day is to form meaningful relationships with the people in our community. And it's that connection piece. That's what gives me joy. That's what lights me up. And so I think if we're going to have a long and sustainable career, at some point the people part takes over from the teeth part. Now, that's not to say you don't love dentistry and the craft of it. Of course you do. I get that. But the people part becomes just as important. And I really believe that if you can create that connection with your people, whether it's your patients or your practice, you're going to have a really rich and rewarding and enjoyable career, because as healthcare professionals, that care piece really makes a difference, right? That's why we got into it in the first place, because we care, we're people, right? And so understanding that is critical. So I hope you've enjoyed that few little lessons from the Pike Place markets. We spoke about Zappos in the previous edition. In the next edition, we're going to be talking about Disney. So we went to Disney. We experienced the magic firsthand. We saw Mickey. We saw all the characters. We saw all the cast. Went on rides. We experienced the magic that only Disney can create. And then we looked behind the curtain. Then they showed us how they do it. Then they showed us their leadership principles. And we're going to unpack that in the next episode. So I hope you have a great day. And I look forward to talking to you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.